Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My very special guest right now, the President of Ireland, Michael Higgins, in New York for his first state visit since being elected last November. Mr. President, we're honored that you would give us some of your time today. Welcome to WNYC.
I'm very happy to talk to you.
After 15 years of boom times, in which Ireland became known as the Celtic Tiger, it became one of the hardest hit countries in the financial crisis in 2008, as of course I don't have to tell you. Yes. How are things in your country today?
Well, I think that people are coming out. Coming out of a number of old assumptions that they had made. I think I have been speaking rather frankly about it because people do ask me, and I think that our biggest problem is, of course, unemployment. And really, as well, I think that people in Ireland are hurting from the adjustments that they have had to make in income and in services. But Ireland is doing well because it has gone back to what it does best. The emphasis is now on agribusiness, the emphasis on our exports, the emphasis on what young people who are highly educated can do. But there's no point in avoiding recognizing that we had a very false version of economic growth for between 10 and 15 years. It created a property bubble, and it created that property bubble within an international system that had, through the absence of regulation, really lived on virtual products that brought great misery to all over the world. I referred to it in my inauguration speech on the 11th of November. I've referred to it just several times during the campaign. And even the meetings I'm having now, like, let us say, with the Young Irish Network, with whom I had breakfast, I was emphasizing to them that they will, in fact, be, I think, a generation that will see a whole new kind of economics come into existence, an economics that is more connected with society.
How about a new set of values? Because I know you've spoken very directly about the Celtic Tiger years being marked, in your opinion, by greed and seeing other human beings in a materialistic way.
Oh, yes, I did. I said that there are two things happening there. For example, at the present time, you're having people recovering a sense of interdependency and the old decencies, as I would call them. Because, you know, it isn't a case of falling from virtue into sin. There was a great deal of inequality in Ireland. But we'd had, in that 10 or 15 years, for example, there was an tendency to value people and to judge people by their heroic acquisition of levels of property that they either owned in reality or were assumed to own. I think that was so false. But I do say this again. This all happened because of the overspill of the assumptions of something that really was accepted around the world, a single model of the economy. The deregulation led to economic growth, and therefore that the less regulation you had, the faster you would have growth, and so on. But this was an international atmosphere, and within this you had the Irish property bubble. But what is happening now is this. You know, this is the country we have, the country of which I'm president, is one in which, of all the people between 20 and 35, they're the largest proportion of people who have third-level education. It's an English-speaking population on the edge of a 500 million market into Europe. Of course, what I am concerned about, remember, what I got a huge mandate for, in a way, was my program for the presidency was that it would be an inclusive citizenship. And I've been around the country, and people are removing barriers to participation in a creative society. I was able to give many, many examples of that, but not only in the cultural area, which is really something wonderful in relation to Irish recognition in New York alone, but also creative in everything we do in science, technology, application. And then I said creating an Irishness that we might be proud of, an Irishness that takes global responsibility for, as indeed our soldiers do in peacekeeping, as indeed our aid workers do in international aid. And I've just come from the famine memorial that puts the Irish famine on one side, but it equally reminds us of the scandal of repeating famines. So this is it is only true to say there is righteous anger in Ireland, as to, if you like, the regulation that didn't happen, their loss of trust, perhaps the breaches of trust by those in whom trust had been placed. But there isn't any fatalism or any cynicism, and there isn't any just mindless anger about it. What there is a determination to get on with what we do best. And you will see that there is an increase in exports. If we were dealing with a deficit, for example, I would imagine you could straighten that out within 2 years. But we're dealing with the overhang from what the banks created. But the banks have been recapitalized. So it's a hard time, but it's a time, really, where we've gone back to what we're best at.
My guest, my very special guest on WNYC right now, is the President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, in New York for his first state visit since being elected last November. By the way, Mr. President, one of our listeners just tweeted at us. Belinda writes, just heard Brian Lehrer say that Michael D. will be on WNYC today, but he called him Michael Higgins, which made me say, who? So do people call you Michael D.?
Well, it is one of the things that I'm known as Michael D. Higgins, but over the years, people refer to me as Michael D. Your listener is quite right, and I'm delighted to know that she is there correcting people.
And so am I, a little
chastened. And I hope
chastened.
I meet her now and all her friends, and indeed, because 2013 is our day, is our special year for the gathering. That is, we're building on to all the existing international festivals, and all the towns and cities and villages in Ireland are making a special effort to welcome people who are connected in any way, but also new people to come and celebrate with us. So there is an air of optimism. It has been a hard time. There's no point in saying that. And
yes,
it must have been hard, too, I think, for those who had their expectations disappointed and who have been forced to immigrate. But one of the reasons I'm in New York, and my other visit was to London, was to stay in touch with what I call the wider Irish family abroad.
Indeed. Now, the presidency of Ireland, as I understand it, is largely ceremonial, but you have exercised one power that you do have, to call a referendum for later this month on the austerity treaty with the other EU nations.
No, the government has called the referendum. No. First of all, it isn't quite ceremonial. There are functions that I have in relation to addressing the thaw. There are functions I have. Basically, it's put like this. The government of the day, in which I do not interfere, deals with the immediate issues through legislation. But let us say, participation of citizens, poverty, ill health, Ireland's reputation abroad, these are themes that are deeper than any one piece of legislation or in short time. They're deeper in theme and they're longer in time. Also questions, for example, of the connections between the economy and society, issues of inequality and so on. These are issues that I can address. So I try to, as it were, put new values into the discourse, and I have been doing that. Now, as to the referendum,
Can I ask the
referendum was called by the government because it would only arise under Article 26 if in fact a piece of legislation came before me and it affected the Constitution and the government hadn't called a referendum at that stage. I would summon the Council of State, take their opinion, but then it would be my decision as to whether there was a referendum or not. But the government has called a referendum.
So because I know we only have a few minutes left, given what you've said so far about greed and the bailout of the banks and values, are you skeptical of the treaty? Are you going to vote no? Are you skeptical of its limitations on the Irish government and the Irish people?
No, I can't possibly. My office is an entirely independent office of government, and I'm at a distance from the legislative process. For example, although I was president of the Labour Party and ran as their campaign, I'm not a member of any political party now, and I obviously can't express it. Don't want to, would be entirely improper of me to express an opinion on what is a decision for the Irish people. So, yes, I will vote, but how I will vote will be entirely for myself.
Americans look at Greece and they see government debt and welfare state as the problem. But Ireland in the boom years had a much leaner, more free market approach, which helped spark the economic growth. Do you see that as having been part of the problem?
Oh, one, I think that the problem was entirely one of, I think we won't have time, we've only a few minutes, but the international problem, and indeed you've interviewed some fine young people who are interested in a different kind of economy, but the deregulation, you know, I often look back at those amendments to the Glass-Steagall Act. What did they release in the world, not just in the United States, but coming home and taking responsibility for what we had responsibility for, there were really failures in regulation. And you must really can't say that, you know, you can leave your people at the mercy of entirely deregulated economic structures. Mm. That debate is taking place. I think that when we come out of this, we're going to see new connections between economy and society that I think will be more sustainable. But you are quite right. It is a debate that is going on right, not just in the European Union, but going out throughout the world.
Do you celebrate May Day in Ireland? Is it a national holiday?
Yes, we do. It is a free day for workers. It's a bank holiday. It was introduced by a former colleague of mine, a Labour minister, many years ago when I was a much younger politician. You know, I was 25 years in Parliament and 9 years in the Senate. But yes, we do. And usually, if I wasn't in my present role over the years, I would have been giving a lecture on some aspect of Labour history.
Do you have any Occupy or related protests taking place today over there?
I'm sure there will be Patrimoine's demonstrations of different times. Mostly in Ireland in my time, they were organized by the Congress of Trade Unions, but it usually took the form of some lecture on some aspect of the economy or society. I remember giving them in several different places in Ireland over the years. But it's a day where, in fact, we should wish workers all over the world well, and also realize as well that the responsible thing to do is to think out of our position, use our critical capacities, as I think I heard one of your contributors saying. Critical thinking is what is very, very necessary. And while I'm at it, I might say my daughter, Alice Mary, spent 4 years here with the New School for Social Research, and the New School has been a great source. New York is a wonderful city. I'm delighted to be here. If I ever come back as a private citizen, I can assure you I get a great buzz out of here.
And the great connection between Ireland and New York, New York and Ireland, continues.
Yes.
The President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes during your first official state visit as President to New York City.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, so slán agus beannacht. Take care.